the earth is evil, we don't need to grieve for it. Nobody will miss it. All I know is life on earth is evil.
Welcome, everybody, to AM Byte, to AB Live, not just live on the tubes, but if you want something less corporatist, we also are streaming live from Rockfin and Rumble, and of course, there will be a replay on all podcast channels. But welcome, everybody, to this world where men still have nipples. My name is Miguel Connor, and I am your pompadas of gnosis. And we got a hunka burning gnosis show today, as always. With us, it is always a pleasure to have David Block. David, how are you?
That's great. Thank you, Miguel. Thank you for having me on again. Such short notice.
You're like part of the team now. It's like, you know, we got to do it or else it is an AM Byte. And as we were talking before, now maybe you can't do future shows because now that Sweden has joined NATO, you might be there with a rifle marching in your border for Russians and Chinese.
Yeah, the madness is spreading for sure.
The god of war, the war pigs. It is interesting because, yeah, I always struck by it was Heraclitus, all his beautiful theology did say that the true god was war. War was the foundation of the entire universe. So what are you going to do? He might not be wrong. But here we are. We are the peacemakers here and the cheesemakers. And with us, too, we got somebody who's a great peacemaker and a cheesemaker. Blessed is the Moondog Vance. Vance, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. No short of, you know, nothing short of cheesy comments here.
So keep them coming.
Yeah, I'm ready for the apocalypse and the Matrix and then time and all that stuff. So going to be interesting.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and you better feel fine, as the song goes. Or as James Drew, best apocalypse ever. Revelations. So awesome. We'll definitely get to David's presentation in a minute. Good to see everybody over there already in the chat. Chester, I see Grandpa. H.P. Lovecraft is there with the old ones and others. And as always, if you have any questions for David or remarks, or you simply want to support the show, please super chat them and we can separate them from the audience and get to your questions, remarks, complaints, insults, whatever you want to do. It's your call. Not much else in the house keeping. I'll have a bigger announcement yet, but yeah, Astronosis is semi-official and David will be one of the presenters. So it's going to be amazing. Great group of guests, still adding guests, still adding events and other things, but it's pretty much there. So get your early bird tickets now for the next month, $20 cheaper, and hope to see you there on August 9 and 10 at the Theosophical Society in Wheaton once again. And please support this show in any way you can Like, subscribe, share. One-time donations is great. There's many tiers at Patreon, including a simple dollar tier if you got holes in your pockets due to the monkey shines of Archons. And yeah, let's keep the Gnosis going. I can't do it without you. Great shows coming on in the next week or so. We will go Philip K. Dick heavy. We will talk about Philip K. Dick and Taoism, Philip K. Dick and artificial intelligence. We will add in Elvis there. So those great shows with the theme of Philip K. Dick and his promise or nightmare for where we are today. A show on Santa Muerte coming on next week. And yeah, great content coming in March and the rest of spring. So I think that's all I got under my tool belt. David, do you want to take us away?
Yes, let's start. Now, the presentation should be up now. Do you see the presentation? There we go. Thank you.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Oh, somebody in the chat I was looking about, are you going over a movie? We should say this is the first part of a trilogy. And you will, on the third presentation, you will go over movie The Lord of the Rings. But yeah, maybe tell people about the trilogy you're doing now.
Yeah, I start with the presentation of the trilogy. It's a three-part series. Part one is the present, of course. The Apocalyptic Time Clock Matrix, End Times and Revelations. Part two will be The Tower, Necromancy and the Search for Eternity. And part three, Decoding the Esoteric Lore of the Lord of the Rings. And it will be very interesting with the Lord of the Rings. I decoded it before, but it was a very long time ago. And of course, I know much more now, changed perspective. And I have some information from a previous InfoWar, Alex Jones. He invited the Lord of the Rings society over there, but they took it away. But I downloaded that part, so I have it. And I will upload it on my channel, and I will quote some of it. There they talked about the tape Tolkien was on, who was buried for a long time. And they found the tape, and they are, you can hear Tolkien talk in a very sincere tone, but the tape is gone for now, I think. It ended up at BBC, and I don't think they ever get it back. But I have the part, InfoWar part, where the Society of Tolkien Society is, and talk about that tape they found. So I will upload it on my channel. I hope it will be there and not taken away, or but I will try.
Yeah, and for the audience, if you want David's channel, his YouTube channel, I have it on the show notes. So go to the show notes, there's the link.
Yeah, and I will quote Tolkien from the tape. And it's a very unknown tape because it disappeared when Alex Jones' channel disappeared from YouTube. They have never uploaded it again. Wow. So it will be interesting, I hope. So the three-part series will end up with decoding of the Lord of the Rings. But there is a reason for these two parts before that. So if you go through all of the parts, you will understand Lord of the Ring in a much more profound depth of understanding. Now, this part, the Apocalyptic Time Clock Matrix, End Times and Revelation, have five parts. The first one is The Boatman, Enter Sandman, Dead But Dreaming, To See New Life, Eridu and Enki. And I will present the second part, The Tower. So I have it in brackets there. But it's five parts in this part. So let's go back to the Watcher series a little bit and to Lucifer. And you have to understand what happened with Lucifer or Prometheus, where when Zeus chained him on Caucasus Mountain. The idea from Zeus' side was to get to know what Lucifer knew, because Lucifer is one mask of Lucifer is Janus, and Jonas have two faces. It means that he can see the past, the future, into the metaphysical and into matter. So he's all-knowing, and Zeus is not all-knowing. Rather, you should get the idea that he's a demigod. He's probably Marduk, but also Enlil, I think, is a combination of Marduk and Enlil. And there is a reason for that as well. I will not go into it here. But Marduk is a half-god. And there is a reason why he became the Olympian god, gods of God. Lucifer had stolen the fire from Zeus, or Prometheus had stolen the fire from Zeus. He wanted to give it to humanity. Lucifer, Prometheus, can see the future. And he saw the boatman, Noah, crash landing on shore, meaning that he failed his mission. And I'm going to talk about that mission later on. I call Noah a boatman, and even Gilgamesh was a boatman. And this myth are very intertwined with each other. But Lucifer saw that Enlil, Marduk, Zeus would try to drown humanity in a flood. And if he would succeed, now, this is not only about water as a physical water. This is about much, much more. It is about memory, language, science, and so on. So what Enlil wanted to do, and Marduk Enlil wanted to do, was to take away humanity's memory and also the soul. Now, you can't really lose your soul, but the soul can be so far in the dark that you will not get it, or you can't reach it. And with this spark, Prometheus wanted humanity to be able to rise up again. Otherwise, the humanity would end up like an android race after the flood. And of course, that is exactly what Enlil wanted. He wanted to drown humanity in memory, or into forgetting, to not remember the past, who we are or who we were. So Lucifer, Prometheus, gave Aelo the spark. And Aelo is also Nama. And Aelo Nama is a Nephilim. So she get the spark from Lucifer to carry it over from one matrix to the next. Because when the water comes, it is a water divider, meaning a shift in the matrix, a profound shift in the matrix. Now, if you understand that water is memory, nation, language, you can get the idea that this matrix shift is a huge thing. It's a very harsh ordeal where human lose the memory, previous memory, who they were or what they can become or what they have achieved. So Aelo get the spark from Lucifer because Lucifer, Prometheus see that Noah will crash land. He will not succeed. And that Noah has failed is also into the right-hand path, esoteric lore, not only the left-hand path. Even the Lurianic Kabbalists know this. So Aelo, her name is also alternately spelled Elio, which reminds us of Elio, the children of the Nephilim. She may even be one of them, an old pre-flood spirit. Even though she is half human, she can also appear as an owl. Now, an owl is a very important symbol. An owl can see in the dark, and an owl is wise. The Nephilim is really an upgrade to be able to hold the spark within them. And what is the spark then? Doesn't say that much to say spark. It's a program in our DNA to be able to ignite our DNA who have been shut down after the flood. 22 strands or junk DNA, as the scientists call them, of course. But this is also a shutdown when the matrix changed. Our DNA shattered, memory shattered, language shattered, nations shattered, and the flood who smash and destroy civilization. It's a very upheaval thing for humanity, a huge shift. And we have to start all over again. If the boatman fails, and I will talk about it later on. Now, Aelo, the owl, I invoke the messenger of God, she who comes with fire and sword, to proclaim her will to the aeons, who purifies and destroys the soul of man, who casts the false and the wicked into Gehenna, and elevates those with the pure heart on her flaming wings. So, it is a warrior type of mentality she's talking about. She's not for everyone, right? You need the right attitude. And a very powerful willpower to transform. You're not getting anything for free. You have to work for it. And she's all for the metaphysical warrior class, the one who want to ignite and to search in the dark for themselves. So the Nephilim is a huge misunderstanding, as always, right? Now, when you curse the Nephilim, you're really cursing yourself because you are one of them. Meaning you have the spark. You have the ability to ignite your DNA, 22 strands of DNA. And when you do it, you also ignite your soul. Now, your soul, you cannot lose it, but your soul can be so far away from you, from your mind, from your understanding, that it's very hard to find it. Now you need something to ignite it again, to have a push. Now, everyone has a soul, but the soul is dormant, waiting for you to ignite it. And this is the gift from Prometheus to you, carried over by Aelo, the Nephilim, Nama, because Noah didn't succeed. He crash-landed. Therefore, humanity has to get up again and rise up and start to evolve from a very primitive state with no memory and loss of language and so on. Without the spark, it would be even harder to find the soul or to ignite the 22 strands of DNA that is dormant in you. It is the young DNA. But you have it because you are one of the Nephilim. For sure, we have intermarriage with other groups of homo sapiens, right, but you still have it in your body. So when you curse the Nephilim, you also curse yourself. I just want to point that out to you. Now, this spark buried deep in the darkness, in your own darkness, in your own unconscious. But you can find it through method. And we have to go into the unconscious part under the surface. And we have to dare and we have to be brave because there are layers of dark archetypes and memories. And it's not an easy ordeal, but you ain't got nothing for free. But the good part is it is there. They haven't taken it away from you, and you can ignite it, and you can rise up. And that is exactly what we have to do right now. And this is the gift of Prometheus. Now, you had a soul before the wall, before this matrix, but the soul went back. Like if you convince humanity that they don't have a soul, now that's become your reality. And humanity is so form down into matter that the soul is like completely gone almost. Now you need to find the spark. Now you have to find the dark, find your spark in dark, in the dark labyrinth of your own unconscious. But it is there. So part two, Enter Sandman. And let us exit light and see what's in the dark. Now we have the feminine and the masculine. And a lot of people is talking about this, but I don't think many people really understand what it means. Not even I. I mean, there are a lot of layers upon layers upon layers of understanding. I only talk in this framework. But the feminine is the dark, is the minus. It is the receptive. It is the womb. And it is the moon. And it is intuitive. And the masculine is, of course, expansion, to expand. It is fire, willpower, technology. And it is plus. Then why is masculine plus and feminine minus? Masculine expand. Expand through fire and force. And these two forces have to exist. Nothing would exist without it. Feminine is, of course, water and earth. Masculine is fire and air. And these elements are always in flow, never stand still. It's always in flux. And it's never in balance, almost never in balance. Either humanity expand or humanity withdraw. Either plus or minus. But always in movement, humanity will never stand still. It will never happen. Either you go back towards the womb, towards the feminine, or you expand through the masculine, the plus, and you go away from the womb, further away from the womb. And we can see these forces in the very famous symbology, Baphomet. And Baphomet has both feminine and masculine aspects to it. You have the fire torch, but you have also the breast. The fire torch is, of course, expansion, fire, willpower. Then you see the moon. Moon is feminine, and you have the womb. That's feminine, and it's dark. It is minus. It is withdrawal. So you can see this in humanity's history. When humanity starts to build up societies, we have plus. We go full force and fire and willpower to produce, to expand. This is a phase where humanity builds up the society, builds up hierarchy, rules, regulations, restrictions. And when humanity withdraws, collapse, society go back to a more primitive state towards Mother Earth, to the natural, you have more minus. And this is never at an equilibrium ever. This is always in movement. But it seems like when we are on the expansion, many thousand years go by and we all expand until we can't any longer, because we have reached so far away from the womb, from the feminine, from nature, that we start to withdraw. And it will be a dramatic event. So it's not a slow withdrawal, rather it is a collapse. Baphomet is, of course, a symbol of perfect balance with the feminine and the masculine, and you can achieve it within yourself. that you can work with these forces. At the same time, the forces work at the outside world, as at the material world, but you can withdraw within yourself to feel, to manipulate these forces to become the Baphomet, to become the perfect balance between the feminine and the masculine. And this is, of course, very important. It is to have perfect balance between logic thinking and your intuitive feeling, because sometimes you can't solve things with your mind. Sometimes you need to use your gut feeling and feel your way through the harsh ordeal on your evolution path with an esoteric method. And sometimes it is good to withdraw, just to meditate and to just observe what has happened within yourself. And then you should shut down your brain and go back to the womb. Now, Noah's Ark, of course, and we have Noah riding in the storm for 40 days and 40 nights. And this is about the Hebrew letter Mem. And Mem's number is 40, therefore 40 days and 40 nights. And Noah tried to ride through the storm with the boat. And he is the boatman. He is the old boatman. And I think they have changed this around. I think what they are talking about really is the event of the Atlantis when Noah arrives. I think the timeline in the Old Testament shouldn't be taken too strictly. And I will talk about it later on. Remember that time is an illusion. What they are talking about is event that will recur, will come back at us over and over again. It's like a loop, an archetype that plays out. So the date is not that important. It is important for us because we think it's interesting, and that's good. Nothing wrong with it. But if you are stuck with it, now, once again, with your logic brain thinking that you need to understand exactly when it happened, you will miss the point. Feel. But exactly. When the waters storm, it is because we have gone so far away from the mother's womb, and we have plus fire, technology, force, masculine, building up until a collapse will happen. And when this collapse towards the womb happen, the water starts to shake. The water starts to storm. It is about science, technology, memory, force and language. So when we have gone so far away from the womb, from the feminine, and the collapse starts, just starts. And remember, the collapse goes very fast. It's not like slowly go back to the womb. It's like boom, just go straight back to the womb. And when the pull happens, the water shakes. And the boatman knows this. And he tries to save everything from the previous matrix over to the next, in order for humanity not to have to start all over again, to take over memory, language, nations, to the other matrix, the shift, the wall, over to the next matrix, to have it intact. To have the knowledge of the previous matrix is very important if you don't want to end up as prey to a certain group of people who will try to overbridge this wall, this matrix, with technology. And I call that archetype the tower builders. And they will always control you if the boatman fails. So you have more than one boatman. For example, we have the story of Gilgamesh. And Gilgamesh was a boatman. In the 12 tablets, we have, and we have the story intact now, we can read a couple of things about Gilgamesh that is very, very important to understand. Gilgamesh have seen everything. He have experienced all. Anu granted him the totality of knowledge of all wisdom. He had experienced it all. He was very powerful, all-knowing, a person or a half-god, more god than human. And Gilgamesh was a later boatman than Noah. He saw the secrets, discovered the hidden. He brought information of all time before the flood. And this is within the Gilgamesh mythology. I take that again because that's very important. He saw the secrets, discovered the hidden. He brought information of all time before the flood. He went on a journey and he met Noah, the old boatman. In the story of Gilgamesh, he meets Noah. And Noah is the old boatman, a failed boatman, but still alive. Now, you can understand that in different ways. Maybe he met Noah not as a living person with a body, because this is about necromancy. This is about speaking with the dead, because the previous matrix is the dead. The perfect form of necromancy is to be able to distract or to take out information from the old matrix into the known, into this matrix, to be a boatman, to be able to travel between matrix realms. Because time is an illusion. It exists here where we are now. They are dead but dreaming. So when the boatman fails, the consequences is harsh. Especially if you have an esoteric elite who try to do the same as the boatman, but with technology. And that is the tower. They do it with technology instead of esoteric knowledge. Now, Noah failed and he crash-landed, meaning that our memory of the past was wiped out. We don't know who we are. We don't know our past. Our language was shattered. And we started to devolve because the civilization was collapsing. At the same time, humanity devolved. And that's a bad state to be in when you see the ruins of the great old cities, and you devolve at the same time. For the esoteric elite to build a tower, they could have the memory intact of the previous matrix because they overbridged it with technology, through technology. Now, who will rule who? It's a very easy and an obvious answer to the question. I don't have to answer that question because we all know who will come on top of things here. And of course, that's the purpose. And of course, that's no one knew it, but he failed. He wasn't stupid. And he had Aelo on board with the spark, because Aelo, Lucifer, Prometheus knew that humanity would end up as slaves under this esoteric elite, under Enlil and all that ilk. And maybe forever, or for a very, very long time, if it hadn't given us the fire from the gods, stole the fire from the gods to give to us the spark, buried deep within our body matrix as a program to ignite when we need it the most, in order for us not to be slaves forever. So we have mem, memory, and it's language. And you can see mem means water. Noah traveled through mem to save memory, to save what's left of the old matrix over to the new one. Because he knew what was at stake here. Prometheus knew what was at stake. Aelon knew what was at stake. Everybody knew what was going on. The words a man speak are deep waters, a flowing stream, a fountain of wisdom. Right? So language is much more than just a spoken language. We cannot express things with a limited language. Language is force. It is science. And what we choose for language will have an impact on our race, how we think, how we act, how we do, what we do. So you have a new beginning when we arrive at the new matrix and we have memory loss. And if I ask you what happened between 10,000 BC and 5,000 BC, nothing. It's a black void of nothingness. We can find some stones, we can find some ruins, but it doesn't say anything, because if we agree that the Atlantic period is real, then where is the civilization? Where is the technology? What happened? Nothing. It's wiped. A complete memory loss of nothingness. And this is a new beginning. The vaults of sin. The vaults of sin are located in the dreamlands, between the sphere of dreaming and waking. The vaults of sin exist beyond time and space. Time and space is an illusion. Time doesn't exist. The previous matrix is here with us now. We can access it. But if we don't have any memory of it, we can't access it, because what you can't imagine, you can't do anything about it. If the memory is not there, you are lost. Then we have the sunken city of Reluje. And you can call it the great old ones' cities, deep underneath, in deep waters, dead but dreaming, lost civilizations, collapsed, Atlantis and other civilizations who have gone under the previous matrix memory wipes. But they are there, and we can access it if we understand that that's the case. The first thing is to understand that they are there, and that is memory. And we start to understand this. We couldn't talk like this for 100 years ago. No, people thought I would be even more nuts than people think I am now. It's like no one would even listen. But now, because of the scientific language, now we have language to express things like this, like the Matrix. And of course, it's thanks for the movie. I've done a lot of great here, because it has become an enrichment of our language, what we can express and talk about. Now we can understand what I'm talking about. This is a Maya illusion matrix. When the shattering happened, and I don't know if the shattering was between the matrix 10,000 BC, but I think, now I speculate, but I think the fairy, the gnomes and the all these fairy creatures was shattered, their form was shattered, and they become orbs when the Matrix went over to this one, or if it was even later on, because it seems to be more Boatman moments, but it seems to be one big Boatman moment every like 12,000 year ordeal here. It's speculation. But you can also say that you have a Boatman moment when your body breaks down and your soul leaves. That's also a Boatman moment. You don't remember previous life, but that's a personal Boatman moment. Now I'm talking about a collective Boatman moment. And what I mean by that is the a huge upheaval and a huge sudden change in our how we who we are and our surrounding, how we think about ourselves and our surrounding. It's like a huge apocalyptic shift. And I think maybe the fairy became orbs and was shattered. Their form was shattered. And maybe the gods couldn't take physical form after the shattering as well. It seems to be, they seem to be able to take form until 2000 BC, kind of a thing. But I won't say that that's, I can't say that I know that, because there are many, many explanations that can be made about what's going on when they mean the gods walked among us. And then we have the story of Odin in Asa belief, Asa true. And he also, Asa Toth is a, or Asa Tahuti is a, very close close to Odin and what he stands for. And I would say that Odin was an esoteric master and not a god. He was a practitioner, he went through the evolution with esoteric method, and he became Odin. When we put these words together, the meaning of Asa Toth is the source of wisdom, and Odin is the source of wisdom. Wisdom is pure insanity, resulting in absolute freedom, laughter, energy, courage, and ability to look behind the veil of illusion that covers the true reality. Right? So he's kind of a boatman. He symbolizes the overcoming of illusion known as the cosmic yoke. Madness in the center of the universe is the emblem of irrational ecstasy and absolute freedom, because you have to be mad to understand, and you have to be viewed as such from the mainstream man who are sane and very intellectual. But that's your intellect will not take you that yeah. far, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, well.
Control madness is a good thing.
Divine madness of Plato.
Yeah, I will take you there. The well was guarded by Mimir, a shadowy being who became all-knowing by drinking the magical waters. Odin asked for a drink, and Mimir replied that Odin must sacrifice an eye for a drink. Odin gouged out his own eye, dropped it into the well, and was allowed to drink from the waters of cosmic knowledge. And then you have Samael, the blind god, and Samael is accused of being the demiurge himself, one of three in the Christian Gnostic lore, the Nag Hammadi. Well, it's a misunderstanding, I have to say. The blind god is not a negative thing. And Samael is also the poison of God. When you drink Samael's cup, you distort the reality, and you see through the illusion that is reality. You see through Maya, and you see the true word as it is. the blind God, you have to go within. You can't look without. Then you will never get what we are talking about here. You have to go to the darkness, to the womb. You have to go back. And you have to be blind to the lies and the programming of you. And you have to open up your inner eyes in the darkness. You need to be the hermit with a lamp guiding you. But you are the one who have to put the other leg in front of the other. You have to do the journey through the dark. Feel it, be it, and embrace it. And all the darkness will be yours, transformed. So part three, dead but dreaming. Time to enter night. So in the Bible, they're talking about the firmament. And the moon is a very important thing. Of course, the moon creates ebb and flow. It is the feminine. It is the womb. It is the unconscious. It is underwater. You have to go down underwater, into the unconscious, into the dark. In the first chapter of Genesis, Moses wrote, and God said, let there be rakia. That is an expanse, which in certain texts, the scriptures is translated as firmament, in the midst of the water, and let it divide the waters from the water. What does it mean? This illusion of ours, the Maya, is made up of, you can call it different water tanks, but the reality is, it's always around us. Time and space is an illusion. So you can go from one water tank to another, from one water to another water, or from one matrix over to the next matrix. You can do it with esoteric method. You can take information from previous matrix, from dead old matrix. You can awaken the great old ones and get to know them and distract and enhance your memory, ambition, and understanding of that previous epoch of humanity. They are dead, but they are dreaming, meaning that in dreams, you will have an easier access to them. But you can also use a method to enhance the transmission between you and the great old ones. And you can visit this old matrix with method. You can travel there when you dream and so on, dream magic and visit old civilizations. And this is a deeper kind of a slumber we are in, really. If we could understand this from a very early age, we would take it for granted if we were taught this. But as I said, there is a very deliberate fooling us very deliberately to deny access to this. And what you are not aware of, if what you don't have in your memory and in your head, you cannot do anything about it. Evolution, the scientific evolution, is of course that 10,000 BC we lived in caves and we were very primitive and there was nothing interesting at all there. It was very dry, boring, and we were stupid as shit. And of course.
You could drag women by their hair at least. At least that's what cartoons say.
There were a lot of sex at least, but that's
yeah, nothing it. Else to do. Yeah. No streaming or anything, video games, yeah.
This is, of course, a way to program us not to search for the truth. If you understand the truth and that you can take it all back, you will become all powerful, all knowing as a boatman. Therefore, you can become a boatman yourself to travel through matrix, different matrix, and enter different water tanks or water matrix, because it is water within water. It is memory within memory. It is illusions in illusions, but time doesn't exist. This reality is all around us. All previous matrix is all around us and can be accessed. And this is really the art of necromancy, to speak to the dead, because the previous matrix are dead, but dreaming. You can access them because time is an illusion. And necromancy is, of course, about a lot of things. You can speak to the dead relatives and so on. But according to me, the most profound form of necromancy is to go into the old matrix, the great old one, to pierce the veils between this matrix, to become a boatman through method, to be able to travel through, to be able to travel through water, through mem. When Lilith unites with Lucifer, the eye of Lucifer opens and illusions of the world are shattered. This is what the serpent promised in the Garden of Eden, to shatter illusions. And this is, you do it through method or you do it through technology. I don't recommend technology, of course, as you know. But if you ain't have a soul, now they have a soul, but their soul is so dormant that they can't find it. They can't ignite, they can't feel it. Then that becomes their reality. And they start to tinker, they start to do it with technology instead. But you should do it through spirit. You should do it through method. Your body is your temple. The tower is not your temple. The boatman is your archetype. But you should not fail, of course. So the great old ones is, of course, the call of Cthulhu and the Cthulhu mythology. And we all know about this mythology, about H.P. Lovecraft. And H.P. Lovecraft, I think, he had lucid dreaming and he could travel there. And I think he was frightened by it. Because really, according to history, he was a materialist and an atheist. I don't know about that. But you can always explain away lucid dreaming and dreams as a natural phenomena. And I think maybe he viewed it as a natural phenomena to have dreams about this dark old ones, this great old ones. And he wrote a lot of books about it. And some movies have come about as well. I'm waiting for a very good movie about this. I don't know. I haven't seen one.
They are yet. Making The Call of Cthulhu. They are making it.
Okay.
So let's see how it is.
Yeah, I thought it would come sooner or later. Very interesting. Yeah. So one of these great old ones is Dagon. And Dagon is quite known these days because of the cult of Dagon in Africa, close to Egypt. They worship Dagon. Dagon and Cthulhu represent the death of the unconscious, out of which the primal forgotten instincts sometimes emerge to the light of consciousness. He is a sender of dreams and visions as nightmares, and his number is 777. That is Dagon. And Dagon, as I said, is worshipped by an African tribe. And I remember it was a quite big thing before. Now it's more silent about that. But they are very interesting people. And there are a lot of connections between Dagon and Enki, as you can understand. Dagon is like a fish god residing in water. And you have Enki, and Enki is, of course, Enki and Enlil is the son of Anu, and Anu is the main god in Anunnaki pantheon. And you have Enlil, and Enlil is Jehovah. Enki is the dark one, like the devil. But Enki have more names. In Egypt, he was called Ptah, and in Greek mythology, he was Poseidon. So now we have Poseidon, water, memory, old god, old Anunnaki god. And it's very close to Dagon. And they have the same star. And their star is Sirius. And Sirius is a fixed star. And the number of Sirius is 33. As in Freemasonry, the 33 degree in Scottish Rite Freemasonry is the highest degree. And you know, a lot of Freemason lodges, you have Sirius or had Sirius as their main symbol. And the right sun worship in Egypt, now a lot of different periods in Egypt, but in some epochs there were the sun behind the sun was Sirius. It was the right sun worship. It was not our sun, but the sun behind the sun. And that is Sirius. And it is Enki's star and Dagon's star. And both of them have a water aspect to them. Now you may recall also that Jesus was crucified at an age of 33, and that they found Jesus through the Bethlehem star. And Bethlehem star is probably Sirius. Therefore, you have a connection with Jesus and Sirius as well. And to say that the character Jesus was an Enlil worshipper, or that is his father Jehovah, is very wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry to say. They turn it around. But more attribute to Dagon are the hermit in the tarot deck. And the hermit, I talked about him before, it's the esoteric practitioner withdraw within himself into the darkness, and he has to hold the lamp and light up the darkness within to understand it and to find his way. And he is the one who has to put the other leg in front of the other and do this journey. You cannot be told this journey. You have to do the journey. You have to walk the walk. And that's very hard and very harsh. And one more time, I think the real Jesus, I think it's Ben Stada. He was one who wanted to explore the darkness and transform it and show you a way how to do it. But he cannot walk the walk for you, but he can pass on the lamp to you to do the same. You can do the same as I do, and even better. But humanity doesn't want to know that, because it implies that they can't watch TV anymore and they have to do some serious work, and that's shit. They rather sit and wait for a flip-flop Jesus to save them, but it will never happen, ever, because that's just counterproductive according to nature. You have to learn and you have to transform, feel your way through, and be engaged. When Shakti unites with Shiva in sexual act, Shiva's eyes opens and pierce the veil of illusion, Maya. This is what the serpent promised in the Garden of Eden. And of course, if you have an elite using technology, you should know that the towers is rising up right in this moment, because we are in the end times and a new matrix start to rise around us. So you will see a Shiva statue outside CERN, of course. And I would say that CERN is the heart of the machine, the heart of the tower. And you will see it rise. It is not the first tower. I will talk about the first tower later on in this presentation. But it is a very in-your-face tower, according to me. For those with eyes to see, they will see it. And you have the Shiva's eye on the card, the tower in tarot. At least in Aleister Crowley's deck, you have the eye of Shiva over the tower, the card tower. Part four, to seed new life. What happened when the matrix shift? What happened when we have to start all over again? Well, we will have to seed new life or start all over again. And Saturn is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And in the North Pole of Saturn, you have this hexagon. And a hexagon is, of course, six-sided and a very important symbol for the elite. Saturn is a very important symbol for the elite. And of course, you have the beehive. And the beehive is one of Illuminati's main symbol. And the owl. And the beehive is made up of hexagons. And they are building these honeycombs and spreading life. They are the one who spreads pollen. They are the one who spreads nature. They are the ones who seed life. They are the one who makes flower bloom, trees grow, and so on. Now, the bee is a very common symbol. You can, when you start to see it, you will see it. Napoleon had bees in his clothing. And as I said, Illuminati used bees. It was very important in Egypt. The honey was very important for many reasons, of course. The bee is a very important symbol. One very interesting thing is, of course, Yggdrasil. In this framework, you see the tree have huge roots going deep down into earth and pumping up water from the old matrix, old worlds. The root goes down deep, sucking up memory stored in the tree. And Yggdrasil is, of course, the famous Asa belief, Asa true tree. And on the tree, you will find different words, metaphysical words, and you can travel to them. These words exist. They exist in the metaphysical, and through the runes and method, you can visit them. This is not like fantasy. There are methods how to go there. In the same way, you can go back to Reluye, the old cities who are sunken. You can visit a lot of metaphysical realms, and they all exist, and you can access them. And of course, this is something they don't want you to know that you have that power. And of course, when you do, you can distract information, knowledge. You can get new spiritual guides, gods that helps you on the journey, helps you in information, unlocks deep memories forgotten by humankind, and so on. They can empower you. They can show you reality. So one thing you should ask yourself about the Yggdrasil have this word existed in previous Matrix among us, like in matter, but they have gone over to a metaphysical state because of the shift in the Matrix, because of the shift in the water tanks, because they all exist here. We can access them, but they are not in matter anymore. They have gone over. And Yggdrasil nourished them through pumping up water with its roots, and the roots go deep down into earth, deep down in the unconscious, deep down in the underworld, pumping up memory to sustain these words of Yggdrasil in memory, in human memory, so you can access them still. And there are 9 words on Yggdrasil. And they are Asgard. Now I tell you the Swedish name of them. But Asgard, Midgård, Jotunheim, Alfheim, Nidavellir, Nidavellir, Niflheim, Muspelheim, and Helheim. And maybe these words have been much more physical in your face realities. I don't know. But either way, they've gone over to an old matrix and ain't here with us anymore. But you can access them. And Yggdrasil nourished them with spiritual water, with mem, with memory, in order for them not to be forgotten by men. And you can access these words through runes, through method. And they are far removed from us, but still they exist. So let's go over to part 5 and to Eridu and Enki.
Hey, shining crazy diamonds. Please subscribe for the second part of this interview. It certainly helps grow this Red Pill cafeteria. What's more, beyond getting the second half, you get content earlier and don't have to worry about flapdoodle commercials here or on other public platforms. So please become a Red Circle sub, Patreon, or AB Prime member for the full consciousness expanding gnosis. At Patreon, I have tiers as low as $1 or $3 a month. And at Red Circle, it's a clean $4.99 a month to stream all full shows. All subs include a dedicated private stream that works on most apps. Don't forget the Gnostic Tarot, which is selling well and optimizing spiritual growth based on the feedback I've gotten, and the Virtual Alexandria Academy. I can't do it without you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being yourself, your true self, here in the desert of the real. Hello and goodbye, as always.